The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Checked your bucket list lately? Are you ready to take care of item number 7? Listening to the Eric Metaxas Show? Well, welcome! Tune in and then move on to item number 8, skydiving with Chuck Schumer and AOC. Here now is Mr. Completed My Bucket List at age 12, Eric Metaxas!
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Tuesday, April 30th. I cannot really believe, is tomorrow May? Is this possible? I don't know what to say. All right, today we have Larry Taunton in hour two. We're going to continue our conversation with him. He's talking all about Jordan Peterson. He's got a bee in his bonnet about Jordan Peterson. I kind of disagree with him, but not that much. It's interesting. So that's Larry Taunton, hour two. In hour one, we have that scary individual known as Votestradamus. Tells all. Votestradamus, that seer, that prognosticator. Some of you may know him as Kevin McCullough. Whatever. He's going to be my guest in a couple of minutes. All right. We've got a lot of information to throw at you right now. So let me just say, first of all, we're doing a campaign with CSI. That is Christian Solidarity International. 13 people have given so far. Now, I'm pretty sure more than 13 people listen to this program. How many of you out there listen to this program? Would you raise your hands?
We should do a listener census, you know, like Caesar Augustus.
I see like over 100 people raising their hands listening to this program. So that means that there's 87 of you who haven't given to CSI. Now, folks, the CSI thing is so great. This is you're freeing Sudanese slaves. This is not a metaphor. They are not in bondage spiritually. These are Christians who've been enslaved in the Sudan for decades. We get to do something about that. Imagine if you would get to do something about that and then you didn't do something about it. How can you not do something about this? I want to lay a guilt trip on you because this is an opportunity that is crazy. That first of all, that slavery exists right now while we're having this conversation in America, that in Sudan, women and children mostly are enslaved by radical Muslims, and you get to do something about that. Every $250 you give frees, feeds, and sets up in a life of freedom these captives. I exhort you from the bottom of my heart. Step up, folks. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Since 1995, CSI has been involved in this, since this happened. But there are still slaves enslaved who can be freed by you. That's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. So you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. I exhort you to do that. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. If you prefer to call, I have a phone number for you. I'll wait till you get a pencil and some paper or a pen or a magic marker or a crayon or a typewriter. Here's the phone number, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. I don't want to be mentioning this all through my conversations with Larry Taunton and Kevin McCullough. I I mention it now, just hoping that you will do the right thing. If you go to MetaxasTalk.com, you'll see the banner. I just want to be clear again. The idea that we could do something about this is itself amazing. It's amazing that CSI has put things in place so that actually we could do something about this. But now we actually have to do that thing. So you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com or call the number. And listen, every $250 frees a slave. But I don't want you to think, oh, I don't have $250. It doesn't matter. If you have $10, if everybody steps up and does what they can, I promise you, it's going to be the greatest campaign that we've ever done to free slaves through CSI. So it's about participation. So if you listen to this program, and again, 13 of you have stepped up, but there are thousands and thousands of you that listen to this program. If every one of you gave $10, you understand, I know you could afford $10 to help free a slave. So I want to ask you, please, to do it. If you listen to this program, I think you know that doing the right thing when you can do the right thing blesses everybody. It's going to bless you. So you go to MetaxasTalk.com. You see the banner there. Anything you can give. I always throw this out there as well, that some of you can give $250. Some of you can give multiples of that. But if you can only give a little bit, please don't let, oh, I can't give $250 be the excuse. Then give $10, give $25, give $10 a month, give $5 a month. You can give monthly if that's easier. I don't want anyone to have an excuse. Please just participate as the Lord would lead you. But I believe the Lord would lead you to participate somehow. So I would rather see 1,000 gifts of very little rather than one or two big gifts. Please, folks. That said, if there are people who can give multiple gifts of $250, we ask you to do that. This is all tax deductible. Anybody who can give $15,000, right? And we need to raise way, way, way more than that. But if there's anybody who can give $15,000, I want to make myself available to spend an evening with you, to have dinner with you in your city, in our city, whatever. We'll always work that out. But that's, I know that there are people who can give $15,000 tax deductible, and that, you know, so we need small gifts and we need big gifts. I also want to be clear before we go to our guests. Registration is now open for the Socrates in the City Oxford retreat today, as of now. Registration has just opened. We're doing a 4-day retreat or 3.5-day retreat in Oxford, England. I'm going to be interviewing 6 different guests. Socrates in the City guests is at the glorious Randolph Hotel. The whole thing is just going to be, it's going to be a heavenly experience. I cannot wait. I'm just thrilled that this has been pulled together. You can find out information at SocratesInTheCity.com. SocratesInTheCity.com. Check it out. SocratesInTheCity.com. Jump on it. Before we go, let me remind you of the book written by our friend Jason Jones. It's called The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. We believe in Jason Jones. He's a friend of John Zmirak. And we believe in his book. I've interviewed him about it. It's called The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. In it, he really talks about what the so-called Great Reset is. It really helps us understand what is happening in the world right now. I mean, the lunacy in the world and in this country, you say, what's going on? That's what the Great Reset is. These globalist elites that hate America, they hate democracy, they hate the will of the people, they hate what the founders believe in. They are doing evil things. His book explains what we can do to fight that. It's called The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. You can get it anywhere, obviously, but we want you to go and get a copy of The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. And actually, before I go, let me remind you also of the Alliance. I'm sorry, the Americans for Prosperity. These are our friends who they're the ones behind the Bidenomics.com website. I think you probably have heard me talk about that on this program. They're launching a national tour. I forgot to say this yesterday, I think. AFP, Americans for Prosperity. They're launching a national tour to expose the weak Biden economy and to push conservative solutions. The tour is called Prosperity is Possible. They're going to have buses and vans crisscrossing the country, in which case, I mean, and they're trying to help Americans understand how Washington can get spending under control, bring down energy prices, stop government from forcing workers into unions. And I think they're going to have some fun. So that's the Prosperity is Possible tour, prosperityispossible.com. We'll be right back.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There's so many reasons Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and legacy precious metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you. LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hey there, folks. I am talking to my friend Larry Taunton. Larry, we can talk about everything, but you had some thoughts on something that Jordan Peterson said recently. I was with him recently. I interviewed him, and I believe TBN is airing part of my conversation with him, or maybe they aired it this weekend. I'm not sure, next weekend, but the entire interview, folks, it's over an hour. It will be at Socrates Plus. If you're not signed up for Socrates Plus, I don't know why you're not. I can't help you. All I can tell you is you got to sign up for Socrates Plus. You got to go to Socrates in the city. It's like $5 a month. You get all kinds of stuff. You won't have access, for example, to the full hour-long in-depth conversation with Jordan Peterson if you don't see it at Socrates Plus. So please go to Socrates in the City. There's all kinds of great stuff there. We've got a Socrates in the City event coming up in New York City. You can live stream that with the biographer Ron White. We're talking about Abraham Lincoln. Exciting stuff, but you got to go to SocratesInTheCity.com, sign up for Socrates Plus, and then you get to hear my long conversation with Jordan Peterson. But Larry, what was it that Jordan said recently that piqued your interest?
Yeah, let me say at the outset here, lest I be misunderstood, that I've been very appreciative of many of the things that Jordan Peterson has said, in particular, his stance against the woke mob. He's had a lot of fun mocking them, and I have certainly had a lot of fun watching him mock them. And I also have a great deal of appreciation for many thinkers who stand outside of the Christian faith. And it is my understanding that Peterson expresses a lot of appreciation for the Christian faith while himself not actually being a Christian. But what I found particularly troublesome is that Peterson has now kind of wandered into an area, understandably, some see it cynically, that he's doing it simply for marketing purposes because he's finding an audience there that will buy his books. I don't read it quite so cynically as that. You've met the man, and I know him. I can't say that I do. I think rather that, like any of us, he being a psychologist, this is kind of a psychological reaction. We tend to lean into those places where we're appreciated. And certainly many Christians do appreciate the message of Jordan Peterson. But I find it very odd that many Christians are looking to Jordan Peterson for a kind of biblical insight and spiritual nourishment. And my feeling is that he has none. And that is because he rejects the central tenet of the Christian faith, that Jesus is Lord. He sees in Christianity a certain kind of power that he admires, that he likes the product of Christianity while not actually receiving Christ as Savior and Lord of his life. And I'm reminded of James 2:19 that says, you say you believe, you do well. The demons believe and shudder. And it's an effort, it seems to me, for, as a friend of mine put it, a kind of Christless Christianity. It's denying the power of the cross while accepting certain, you know, kind of benefits, cultural benefits.
I want to interrupt to ask you, I don't get the impression that he has necessarily rejected Jesus as Lord. I think that sometimes he seems to be, in my interview with him, he was this way. He seems to be somehow deliberately coy. In other words, I think that he is trying to talk about aspects of the Bible and aspects of Christian faith without taking a stand that makes it clear where he stands. So it doesn't seem to me that he is being openly dismissive of the idea of accepting Jesus as Lord. He has just somehow distanced himself from it. But what did he say specifically that that made you write what you write and think what you're now thinking?
Well, but before I say that, let me respond to what you're saying. No decision regarding Jesus Christ is a decision regarding Jesus Christ. And that's rejection. Simply put, it's rejection. And I am reminded of, you know, Lori and I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, Eric, we were looking for church because we were at the front end of what we now know was our own church was going kind of woke. There was some strange things that were taking place that we couldn't quite figure out anyway. So we go and visit this, you know, this big mega church in Birmingham, Alabama, a Baptist church. And at the end of the message, the pastor said this. He asked everyone to bow their heads and pray. And, you know, Lori sitting on one end of the pew and I on anchoring the other, and the children are all sitting in between us. In those days, they were still at home. And he said this, he said, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord, I would want you to know that his grace is available to you. You can receive him today. You can be forgiven of your sin. But if you are here and you remain unrepentant, know this, God has nothing for you but wrath. And Lori and I both, you know, jumped at that. Our eyes, you know, we immediately looked at each other. And that's actually John 3:18. John 3:18 says that those who do not receive him, they're already condemned. You're already under condemnation until such time right. as you should receive him. So Jordan Peterson may eventually come to a place where he receives Jesus Christ. I certainly hope that he does. But seekers, which he seems to be, should be listeners on scripture, not teachers of it. And Christians certainly shouldn't be seeking him out for that sort of, I frankly find it weird that he's teaching books of the Bible.
Well, it's complicated. And this is why I love talking to you, because I love exploring this kind of thing, trying to figure it out. In other words, I don't get the impression that he has rejected Jesus. In other words, it's possible to me that I say possible because he is not clear about this, but that he does have a faith, but he doesn't talk about it that way. So I'm not sure that he doesn't have that faith. I feel sometimes, and this is what why I find him fascinating, is that he seems to be, he's trying to appeal to people who they're hostile to the idea of any morality. And he's trying to show sure. that no morality is a good thing or whatever it is. And the fact that he doesn't shrink from talking about the Bible at so much, it's like he's leaning toward it, but he's not explicit.
Okay. Well, that's problematic for me. Let me push back at you just a little bit. We can do this.
It is for me. It is for me too, to some extent. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to figure out where he's coming from, and that's my sense. Go ahead.
Well, we're friends, so let me push back just a little bit here for the sake of argument. You say that he hasn't explicitly rejected Jesus Christ. Has he received Jesus Christ?
Well, that's the point, is that he may have, but he kind of doesn't
know. He's been asked very openly if he has, and he's always nibbling on the fringes, but he's never made any kind of public. He speaks about the Bible in psychological kind of terms. And I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 3, which says that there are those people who have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. And I think this is important. And then it goes on to say that they're always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Jordan Peterson, when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to scripture, this is who he is. Now, I'm not saying, some people will get very angry at what I'm saying to them here. I'm saying something that many will find unpopular. But the fact of the matter is, while Jordan Peterson has many very good things to say on his cultural observations, he needs to sit down when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ. He has nothing to offer there. The example that I would use, Eric, is this. I'm colorblind. And to me, Jordan Peterson writing a book about his own, you know, search for God, I guess you might put it, is very strange. It would be like me writing a book on the beauty of rainbows. You would say, well, but Larry, you've never actually seen one. I mean, not the way other people see it. To me, it's a little like this. I mean, I think, would Jordan Peterson think it odd? He's a psychologist. If I rejected the central tenets of psychology, but nonetheless went around giving lectures on psychology and wrote a book titled We Who Wrestle with Psychologists. That to me is odd. It's very strange. I'm happy to hear him on other topics, but not on the Christian faith, because he doesn't yet know Jesus Christ.
We're going to go to break. I'm talking to Larry Taunton. Don't go away.
I always wind up here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandwich. $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. Welcome back. We're talking to Larry Taunton. And Larry, you're saying some very interesting things about Jordan Peterson. I think my approach with folks like Jordan, and there's no doubt that I have tremendous respect for him, is that if somebody doesn't get it the way we get it, I don't expect them to get it. In other words, I think if you're talking, if you have this idea, which he seems to have, that there is a God, but he defines God differently, we would disagree with him on the definition, but I can't blame him for groping forward toward some better definition based on the definition that he has. So when I ask him, I asked him in the interview about this, right? In other words, I asked him about, because when he talks about evil or the demonic or something like that, it's clear that he has something like a metaphorical view of it. And I think I tweeted out that, you know, Jesus didn't cast out metaphors. He cast out actual demons. And just because we don't know the details of that, because there's no museum where I can see the corpse of a demon, because they're spiritual beings, just as angels are spiritual beings. But that's something that he's not, it seems that he's not clear on. And so he has a definition of God that is, it's not our definition, but he seems to be, as I say, groping forward in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, again, let me narrow down and be very clear, be very specific about my criticism of Peterson. I'm not saying that he doesn't say some very good things, but when you say that his definition, I know your definition of God, you know my definition of God. So when we say that his definition is different, we're not simply saying that he, you know, that we kind of have our own, you know, concept of him while he has his own. We have a biblical concept of who God is. Your definition, my definition, it isn't my opinion. It's God's word that states who he is. And if Peterson's definition is different than that, which, as you've stated, it is, he's wrong. And therefore, he doesn't, Christians don't need to be looking to, they can look to Jordan Peterson for many things. Spiritual insight and wisdom isn't one of them. And that's because, and you've kind of hit on it here. I finally realized what it is with Peterson. I finally put my finger on it with him. Peterson sees Christianity as a system, as a kind of code of ethics or a system of sorts. That is not what the Christian faith is. The Christian faith pivots. It is centered on a person. Then that person is Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is all about having a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that said, systems do come from the Christian faith. Our legal system, you know, flows outward from the Christian faith. Capitalism in many respects flows outward from the Christian faith. So while the Christian faith produces systems, it is not itself a system. It is about a person, Jesus Christ. And Jordan Peterson does not get that. Now, I hope there comes a time that he does, but at this point he doesn't. And that's why, you know, I come back to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, where he says that there are those who have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. And if you're denying the actual definition of what, listen, this is what he said that I found really troubling and why I felt I had to react, Eric. He said, and I don't know the name of the podcast, but we put it in our own show, Ideas Have Consequences, which your people can find on YouTube. And we play the clip. And there he says this. He says that Richard Dawkins, who I know personally, is mostly a Christian, but doesn't know it. Now, one could have assumed what he actually meant by that, which I've actually said. I said it in my book, The Grace Effect, which was published, you know, 13 years ago, that perhaps what Peterson meant by that was that Dawkins was more Christian in his thinking than he was willing to acknowledge. But that wasn't what he meant, because he went on to say that Dawkins is a seeker of the truth, and that, he said, is, quote, the same thing as worship of the divine word. So what Peterson did there was arrogantly toss 2,000 years of Christian theology and understanding of what it is to be a Christian, and he redefined being a Christian as being a seeker of the truth, which, interestingly enough, that definition seems broad enough to include Peterson himself, that he would. And so I find that very troubling, because my own father, Eric, and let me throw this in very quickly. My own father would have gone to a Jordan Peterson conference and loved it. And that's because he would have come away feeling like, I'm good. I'm a seeker of the truth. I'm a Christian. But it's what your guy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, called cheap grace. And it's because it requires no repentance. It requires no repentance. Without repentance, there can be no grace. Repentance is the activator of grace. But Peterson doesn't want that. He wants a Christless Christianity. And for me, that's highly problematic.
This is so fascinating. We're out of time in this segment. We've got one more segment. I want to explore this further. It's just so fascinating. Thank you, Larry. And folks, by the way, if you're a seeker of the truth or a Christian or anything, if you have any conscience, you want to free slaves. If that were possible, it can't be possible. Oh, wait, it is possible. We've joined with CSI, and this month we are literally freeing slaves in Sudan. This is happening. You need to go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see it. MetaxasTalk.com. Please join us. Don't miss this opportunity. MetaxasTalk.com.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, folks. I'm talking to Larry Taunton. We're talking about truth. We're talking about Jordan Peterson and Richard Dawkins. So, Larry, let me ask you, if someone, because this to me, at some point, it does become, at least for me, difficult to get total clarity, right? In other words, if you are genuinely a seeker of truth, genuinely, who is truth? Jesus is truth. So if you're actually seeking truth in your heart and God looks on the heart, that's not nothing, right? In other words, if you are earnestly, genuinely seeking truth, not talking about truth, but don't really in your heart care about truth, that's different. And you know, when we, even when we talk about repentance, there's something about the nature of truth that if your heart is genuinely seeking truth, I think it goes with the territory that you are understanding of the idea of sacrifice and repentance. That's at the heart of truth. So what God sees in our hearts, I think ultimately that's the question. Is someone genuinely seeking truth, or are they pretending to seek truth when they actually have an animus against truth? Because many people would say, I'm seeking truth, but in their hearts, actually, they're not.
Well, listen, becoming a Christian, justification, it's an event, right? It's not a process. And those who are defenders of Peterson, they all want to speak of this as a process. Well, he's on his way. He's on his quest to find Jesus. If you're a seeker of the truth and it doesn't lead you to the cross and to repentance, you're not seeking truth. It's a complete waste of time, whatever it is that you're doing. The biblical definition of what it is to be a Christian is very clear. You're either pregnant or you aren't. You're either a Christian or you aren't. And what scripture tells us is this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, scripture, you know, there are many things in scripture about which there are gray areas. But those things that are critical have what we find in engineering, and that is built-in redundancy. You know, a building doesn't immediately collapse because one column gives way. There's redundancy to make sure that if in such an event that happens, there are still other pillars to hold the building up. Same's true with the Christian faith. On all critical doctrines, there is redundancy. They are repeated ad nauseum. And what it is to become a Christian, we are told and we are shown in the Gospels as to what it means to be a Christian. It's very troubling that Peterson would redefine it as a seeker of truth, and that his example of that is Richard Dawkins, who he says is, quote, mostly a Christian. Dawkins, I thought it was interesting, came back with a tweet in which he says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm pretty close to a quotation of him. He says, my team sent me this clip of Peterson saying that I'm mostly a Christian and don't know it. Well, I certainly don't know it. And I'm waiting for that conversation with Jordan Peterson he keeps talking about to happen. I found that fascinating because Richard understood better than Peterson what being a Christian actually is. He understood it to be an event. He understood it to be a confession.
You know what? I tell you, I could talk on both sides of this. I don't know that I would agree with you. I'll tell you why. If there's anybody in the world who I'm convinced does not understand what Christianity is about, that's Richard Dawkins. Think about it from that perspective.
I think he does understand. He knowingly rejects it. But he's saying to Peterson, you're trying to tell me that I'm a Christian. Do you understand what it means to be a Christian, Peterson? Dawkins knows. He's rejected it, but he knows. It's Peterson who doesn't. And I'll go further. I'll say this. If Peterson, as he said in the podcast, wants to have a discussion with Dawkins about what it is to be a Christian, which is what he implied, Dawkins will annihilate him in that discussion. And the reason he will is not because he's smarter. It's not because he's more clever. It's because Peterson would be defending a position he doesn't fundamentally believe. You see, to me, this is like Simon the magician, and I think it's in Acts 8, who saw the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
He loved the power of the gospel, but he rejected Christ, and Peter wheeled on him. We have to understand, we cannot allow, as Christians, we cannot allow, and I want to be very clear here, I'm not asserting that I'm in any way, shape, or form better than Jordan Peterson. I'm a sinner redeemed by Christ's work on the cross. But we have to be very, very vigilant in protecting the definition of what it is to be a Christian. And as one pastor pointed out to me, a very well-known pastor who you've had on your show, but he hasn't given me permission to say this publicly, but he said, you know, I went to a Peterson event. And he said, what struck me was that there were, you know, a few thousand young men who were there. And he says, Peterson most definitely is not a Christian, but these young men are looking to him for spiritual insight. And because of that, Peterson on this topic, I'm not saying on every topic, I'm saying on this topic, he is obscuring the path to salvation by tossing out the biblical, the traditional definition of what it is to be a Christian. And he's replaced it with something that to me sounds more like Deepak Chopra.
And we know that Deepak Chopra is not a Christian.
It's not a Christian. And the irony about that, Eric, if I may say this very quickly, the irony about that is that Peterson quite rightly mocks the woke mob for obfuscating the meaning of words. And yet that's exactly what Peterson has done here on what it is to be a Christian.
Do you think he's going to have a conversation with Richard Dawkins?
Well, Dawkins is now obviously pushing him for it. In that interview, in that podcast that I'm talking about where Peterson, you know, said all these things, Peterson struck me as a little intimidated by Dawkins. And listen, I moderated years ago. You maybe won't remember this, but I moderated this debate. I've seen this movie before because I moderated it. And that was a debate in 2010, I think, between David Berlinski, who defines himself as a secular Jew, and Christopher Hitchens.
And hold on, we're going to another break. Hang on, folks. We got a final segment talking to Larry Taunton. Welcome back, talking to Larry Taunton. Larry, you just said, and I was not aware of this, that David Berlinski, whom I have interviewed on this program and at Socrates in the City, who is an agnostic for sure, you're saying that he debated Christopher Hitchens, who is, you know, was openly, nastily atheistic. So go ahead.
Yeah, this was a debate that I moderated, I organized, and I want to say this about Berlinski. Berlinski is as close to a Renaissance man as I've ever met. I mean, the guy is a brilliant writer. He's a brilliant human being, smarter than Hitchens, and that's no knock on Christopher Hitchens. It's just a statement as to how superbly educated Berlinski is. But Berlinski was destroyed in that debate with Hitchens. And why is that? It's because Berlinski took an indefensible position. He was kind of defending the Christian faith, which he rejects, but respects, likes certain aspects of it. Whereas Hitchens could see the hypocrisy of the position that Berlinski had taken. And the result was that the debate, which was aired on C-SPAN, you'll find it on my YouTube channel, 60 Minutes was present, a packed hall. For Hitchens, that was like shooting fish in a barrel. And that's what any kind of debate between Hitchens and Peterson would be like on this topic. I'm not saying on any topic, but if Peterson is taking the... If Peterson were to debate him on this topic, I'm not saying others, where he plans to take the position of defending the Christian faith, Dawkins will annihilate him.
Well, actually, I think I would be thrilled to see that conversation. I have no respect for Richard Dawkins, and I have tremendous respect for Jordan Peterson. I think Richard Dawkins is just unbelievably confused and angry. And I know that you know him. I don't know him. I've not met him personally, and I don't really want to. But I guess it's interesting to me because I think what can come out of that is a definition of terms. And I think it would be valuable for Jordan to have that conversation. It's interesting to me. Every Socrates in City event I've ever done has been a delight, but I have never been annoyed with a guest the way I was at a moment when I was with David Berlinski. People can watch it. It's about a year ago, maybe. But if you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, you can watch my interview with Berlinski, because he can be so coy that it's painful. And I was, in my naive way, trying to actually, you know, move toward the truth. And he seemed to me to be very deliberately coy about the God thing. And at some point I said, well, wait a minute, you know, you don't have to believe what I believe, but have you had no supernatural experiences, or you don't know anybody that has had that kind of an experience? You know, that's kind of evidence for something beyond the material world. And he just cut me off like, what an insane question to ask, almost, you know? And so that's the reason I got kind of annoyed with him, because and people can watch it at SocratesInTheCity.com, but it's a fascinating thing to try to stake out this agnostic position, because obviously there are problems with it. There are problems with it. In any event, I never have enough time with you, Larry. Thank you for this. And folks, if you want to see my long interview with Jordan Peterson on many of these topics that we're talking about here, you have to sign up for Socrates Plus. Please go to SocratesInTheCity.com. and sign up for Socrates Plus. Lots of stuff. We're going to be live streaming an event in 2 weeks. You can't get it unless you're at Socrates Plus. Larry,
can I say this very quickly, Eric, if you got 1 sec here? At the end of the day, you can't a la carte Jesus. You can't say, well, I'll take Savior, but hold the Lord. And that is what I think we're seeing here. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, no, it's we're out of time, but believe me, I get it. And of course, I agree. Thank you, my friend.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.